Death is the biggest enemy we face. Doctors and other professionals can stave it off, but ultimately it always comes back and it always wins eventually. It was the author Daniel Defoe who first said that the two certainties in life are death and taxes. And death wreaks so much havoc. You don't need me to tell you. It separates us from those we love. It cuts short our ambitions and our hopes. Things that might have been, that no longer will. It leaves behind an aching sense of loss. Is there any hope in the face of death? Does the Christian faith offer any? Does Jesus Christ hold out any hope? If he doesn't, Christianity is the biggest waste of time in the whole world. Or as that last Bible reading put it, we Christians are of all people most to be pitied. Everything hangs on whether Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Day. Let me explain by looking at that final reading for a moment. If Jesus did not rise, we would have no hope at all. If Jesus did not rise, we would have no hope at all. Verse 17 says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Sin is an old-fashioned word. To some, it conjures up images of criminal activity. To others, it's about what the actress said to the bishop. To Jesus, sin is the attitude that doesn't want God to be in charge of our lives. We want to make the decisions. What we think matters more than what God thinks. The trouble is, we all do this. Sin is not being exceptionally bad or cheekily naughty. It's ignoring God in the world he has made. And for all that most of us here are really good people who do so many good and kind things, we all have that kind of independent spirit at times. And God cannot ignore such attitudes and behavior. He must punish them because God is good and just and fair. But God is also immensely loving. He wants to forgive us, but he cannot be unjust. So on the cross, on the first Good Friday, Jesus took our sins and he carried them himself. He was punished for what we have done wrong. And just before he took his last breath, he shouted out, "It is finished." Our sins were paid in full. He had taken them away. But how do we know that Jesus' death worked? Because God raised him from the dead. Jesus took on our sins and then he came back victorious. He says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If Jesus did not rise, his death did not work, so your faith is futile. Your trust in him is misplaced. Many years ago, I got to fly in a very small aircraft, just two people. We both had to wear a helmet. We both had to wear a parachute. The parachute is reassuring. You're told the correct way to jump out of the plane if everything goes wrong and you have to bail out. Everything was fine. But what a good thing I had a parachute on. It would look after me if disaster had struck. But it would only look after me if the parachute worked. I was relying on the people who had tested and checked everything. Otherwise, I would feel uncomfortable because of that. So I'd feel confident because of that uncomfortable sack on my back. But my confidence would be utterly misplaced. We Christians feel assured that God forgives us, he loves us, he accepts us, because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But if he never rose from the dead, our confidence would be utterly misplaced because his death did not work. And so he goes on in the verses that follow. If Jesus was not raised, Christians who have died have simply perished. Their death is a big full stop. There's no future for them. And that would mean, at verse 19, that our hope is only for this life. And it follows, the correct way to relate to the Christians, you know, is pity. Pity them. Feel sorry for them. They're putting their confidence in something that will do them no good. If Jesus did not rise, we would have no hope at all. Happily, that futile world is not the one we live in. Jesus did rise. Verse 20 starts, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Jesus did rise, and so we surely will too. Jesus did rise, so we surely will too. Paul says, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He uses the language of first fruits. I'm useless at gardening. Nothing I plant grows. I've never tried planting bindweed, but I don't believe I could even make that grow if I tried. Anybody who's tried knows the tension. You plant your fruit or veg and you wait. Will anything come from this? Have I planted it right? Will it flower? Will it be pollinated? Will the fruit ripen? And then you pick your first basket of bright red ripe raspberries, so they tell me. They're delicious. I know that because people have given some to me. And even better, the plants are covered in lots more flowers and miniature white berries, just like the ripe ones looked a few weeks before. You now know the rest will come. Rising from the dead transformed Jesus. But it also changed the very fabric of the universe. Death is now reversible. Jesus has blazed a trail. He's opened a door from the realm of death back into this world. And as surely as day follows night, anyone who follows him down that path will also come back from death. We can follow him through. But it happens in order. Verse 23. Each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to him. Or as we've just heard, we shall rise. So in the past, Jesus rose from the dead. In the future, all who belong to Jesus will rise. Where does that leave us in the present? It's obvious, isn't it? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, our faith would be futile. But he did, so it's not. Which means that if we trust in Jesus, we're not still in our sins. They were dealt with, were forgiven. Jesus' death worked. The parachute works. So what does it mean for the present? Wear the parachute. Trust Jesus. The future is certain. Jesus rose, so when Jesus comes back, everyone who belongs to him will come back to life. Every raspberry on the plant will ripen, so make sure you are attached to the plant. Make sure you belong to Jesus, because he is the only one to open a door back from death like this. So the only way back for us is to follow him along the path to belong to him. Yes, death is a big enemy. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that Jesus rose from the dead. So it's an enemy that will be destroyed. Does Christianity, does Jesus Christ offer hope in the face of death? Yes. Jesus rose from the dead, and so will all who belong to him. So nothing is more important than belonging to him.